Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Linda Keener Thomas and I are here, Mindy Lefeshore, with Jill and Tony, Cindy, Sylvia, and Lavette. And we've had some great conversations today. We're going to talk this session about the woman who comes into the group. She wants healing, but she's still justifying the reason why she had her abortion. And I know this is something that I have come across, and it seems different for each woman, but the most recent gal that came through, her husband was abusive, and she found out she was pregnant as she was leaving him and did not want to be tethered to him. And so she got the abortion, and she could never come out of that denial. The abortion was, you know, only a year ago, so it was pretty recent. Could never come out of the denial and get to that point to admit that what she did was indeed wrong and against God and against life and all the things that God says is holy and good. But she wanted healing because she knew she hurt. And she did miss the baby. So there's a big disconnect there. And there was a point where I had to just accept within myself, it's not my job to make her change her mind, right? It's not my job to make her regret. I'm not going to do that. But I can give her truth, as was mentioned in one of our previous sessions. I can give her and saturate her with truth and let the Lord do that work in his time and in his way. And when he feels like, you know, it's the perfect time and place for her to have her eyes open to that truth. But I do want to talk about this with you ladies and see where you're at. Linda, I know you have a gal in your group that is the same kind of thing, very similar. And just see, you know, what the situations are, how you're handling that in the sessions. Lavette, you tend to be very direct, you know. Is there something that maybe we should consider saying? I know we can't all pull off that kind of directness, but maybe sometimes we can. And, you know, just by having those words in our toolkit, it might be a good thing to just pull out every once in a while. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, we just did the denial chapter. And what do you do? You know, I've got six ladies and five of them were talking about my baby and regretting the decision. And she's sitting there saying it was the best thing it was what I had to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm listening, please. Where do you take it from there?
That is a struggle for me, because if she would have said that, yeah. But one of the things, we had a young lady who she had her abortion and she was like, I had to do it. She went outside before the abortion happened and prayed to God, and he didn't answer her prayer as far as she was concerned. And so she's like, I had to get the abortion. And I was just constantly like, but then why are you here? Yeah. What do you need healing from? You know, and it became, and I love, Mindy, that you said, you know, it's not our job to force that. And it was so frustrating for me that my co-facilitator said under her breath, dead horse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I just stopped and I said, oh, like, yeah, she's not ready. You can't force her. You are there to plant a seed. Mm-hmm. Be quiet with it. And that truly is like the hardest part of knowing when to close your mouth and when to speak.
But my question
continually was, why are you here?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's an interesting question, because like the gal that was in my group just recently, she was here because she genuinely was sad that she didn't have the baby with her. She named her child. She recognized her child as a baby. All these things, everything except the piece that I don't believe God thought it was wrong. So we do abortion is exercise. And where we put abortion is on one side, and I have them on the whiteboard, and I have them finish the statement what abortion is, and I put up what other women have said, and then we do God is, and they finish that statement of who God is, and then I have them observe the two lists, and the two lists are clear. One is dark, one is light, one is they're both completely opposed. The words that describe God can never describe abortion and so forth, and we have that conversation. And she said, she goes, well, I'm struggling with that exercise because I don't believe that God thinks it was wrong for me. And, I could sit there and pound it into her head if I wanted to, but I don't think it would do any good. So I chose to let her have that and just move on. And this, I think it was a, I'm pretty sure it was a private conversation between her and I. But the integrity of the group is always important as well, right? And so, how do we protect the integrity of the group? Like when we got one woman in there, like for instance, Linda's group, we got one woman in there very adamantly saying she doesn't have any regrets. This is what they had to do. And there was no abuse or, I mean, there was no real bad things going on in this relationship. She's just young and in college and those kinds of things. And yet, so that it doesn't spoil or tarnish anybody else's line of thinking, right? Because we got to be careful about that as well.
Mindy, I'm thinking about the first person that you were talking about, where she's like, I don't think God thinks that my decision was wrong. And I where my mind goes is, would you help me understand where in the Bible it gives you that impression, where it gives you that permission? I would really like to know. And to say that in a way that is not like snarky, because in my head, I could be like, I'm going to need you to show me that, because there, that's what I'm thinking. And then I really hope the compassionate part of me comes out and says, help me understand why and where that comes from, that kind of certainty. Because I would be really interested in
This
that.
girl was not a strong believer or a long believer. So she didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge. So I could tell you she wouldn't have been able to point to any of it. And this is part of her own devising of who God is, right? We all come to God, have with this idea of who God is, and then we learn, as we get into the word, that it's not at all who we thought, he was. So I knew she wouldn't know those answers, but at what point, I guess at what point do we move on, right? Like Levette, when is it a dead horse? And what point do we need to protect the group from those kinds of false thinking? Because what one person said can confuse another person, right? And bring confusion. And so, as a leader, we have to navigate those discussions, and we have to bring balance to that group and truth when truth is, step in with the truth when we absolutely have to, right? Not absolutely, but you know what I'm saying? Like when they're dogmatic on a particular point and it's potentially hurting the group members. Am I making sense?
But I love what you're saying, Mindy, because sometimes even in a group setting, what I'll do is if a young lady has a comment like that, I'll always ask the other participant, what do you hear when she's saying that? And so, and depending on how they answer, if they would say, hey, that's just where she at, that released me from feeling like, okay, she's poisoning the whole group. Or they may challenge her. And that creates a great atmosphere of, here they are taking this journey together, and someone in the group is challenging her, like, well, why are you here?
It's a good
So
question to ask.
instead of coming from the facilitator, now her peers are asking her.
I think this whole topic is just so important because I think we're going to see this more and more and more. Like you alluded to early on, generational, right? The mantra that they're hearing of the world is that abortion is okay. They're hearing that over and over and over again. And so they're confused. And the other piece of it that I think is important is because of chemical abortion, we are all seeing, and we've talked about this a lot and trying to figure it out, we're all seeing them come to us a week out, 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out because of the trauma, where we're used to dealing with women that have had lots of time to kind of process and reconcile and think about and know that it wasn't right. And a lot of times, even coming only after they have become a believer for the first time, maybe when they had their abortion, they weren't. But that's not the clients that are coming now. And so that's the part that I think sometimes can be frustrating for us, but we have to continue this educational piece. I mean, we're meeting as our whole team is going to be meeting and talking about this very thing in April, because what I'm seeing is that facilitators who've been facilitating for years are getting frustrated because they don't see the clients that are coming through reacting and responding the same way they remember coming through. And it's a different world now. We're in a different place.
So how do we
So
shift as
I
leaders?
want to jump in here.
Go
So,
ahead.
Tony, because of what you were just saying, and really what we're all saying, women are coming to us sooner, and many of them are younger than us. We are talking about Gen Z here, and we have to understand this cohort of people. We have to understand this demographic. This is actually something I just pulled up my notes that I'm going to be speaking on at our national conference about engaging Gen Z. But so I think it's really important that we understand, some broad truths about them. From a faith perspective, they are the first post-Christian generation. 57% seldom to never attend a religious service, and 53% think religion is either not as important or not important at all in their lives. So they don't come from a faith background. They rank the lowest among the generations in scriptural engagement. Truth is it's just relative to them. 24% of Gen Z agree that what are morally right and wrong changes over time based on society. And 21% believe that what is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes. So they're coming to us because they know they're hurting and they think that we might be able to alleviate that pain, but they have no faith foundation. They have nothing that anchors them. And because faith does not inform their worldview, many in Gen Z subscribe to a level of moral relativism. They've grown up being told to live your truth and have been taught that absolute truth is politically incorrect and is not to be tolerated. To accept absolute truth or objective truth means someone will be offended. So as a result, cancel culture has run rampant. And what it comes down to is our job as Christ followers is to consistently point people to the truth as revealed in Scripture. And for some of these people, this is not going to be a popular stance, and they're not going to want to accept that. They want the quick fix. That's why they chose the abortion. That's why they chose abortion by pill. And then that's why they're showing up, on our doorstep so quickly.
And I think that's key, Jill, if I could jump in, is they want out from under the pain. They don't want to deal with what caused the pain in the first place, which means they don't want to deal with what got them into the situation that caused the pain. They don't want to go back even further to look at which that's the road to abortion, right? That we do. And that's the key to that is repentance from all of that. So how do we as lead? Okay, first, Tony, you mentioned that, as leaders, we're used to women coming in as we did, and that these women are coming in different. How do we pivot? How do we change our mindset to meet them where they're at and let God do that work? And do we, this is a s completely separate question, but do we suggest a different kind of study for them, or do we just take them through the group and just let God do his work?
You're never going to hear me say that there's any other way that they can get healing except through God. I have to answer to God one day, stand before him, and I'm sticking to that, okay? But I do think we have to be aware. I think we have to have training. I think we have to have knowledge, like what Jill's talking about, and understanding them and reminding ourselves and our teams that it's gonna look different, and we have to be patient. And that's what, how many times have we fallen and not got it right away, right? And so I think, I hear things, and that's where, people get frustrated. I mean, we have the drop-in support group meetings, and I have one girl that, dropped in one night, and she said, I've had three abortions. I'm okay with two of them. I don't have any regret on that, but I don't understand. I'm really struggling with this last one that I've had, and I think it's because I'm still with the baby's father. Like that's her mindset. And so we have to, and to us, we're like, no, that's not it, right? But we have to figure out a way that we can be patient and talk to them, and just continue to plant truth, because like Jill said, there is no absolute truth anymore. We know that there's absolute truth, but they don't. And so I just think that it's going to take us all learning together and regrouping and understanding how we're going to do this, because it's not going to look the same. But we cannot, to answer your question, ever take out God in it.
I'm working with the Gen Z right now, and she is a brilliant girl. But she also can, talk herself in the corners. But one thing I've noticed about her is that she needs to talk. Like, she needs to have someone listening actively to her. She needs to tell her story, and she needs to tell it over, and she needs to tell it over. And somehow or other, when Holy Spirit is in the room with us, he pushes her right into the corner of truth every time. She talks herself back into that corner, which is just incredible for me to sit and watch, because all I'm doing now is listening to her go back to God's truth. So as we are continuing to use the word, as you were saying, and they hear themselves speak, I mean, if you think about their age group, it wasn't that long ago when they were little girls, right? And they knew that killing a child would be a wrong thing to do, right? You ask any 8-year-old and they're going to tell you that. That's not right. They're not that far removed from that belief system. So, when they talk themselves into what I did right, eventually they're going to come back to that core belief. And it's an interesting, really amazing process to watch, but they have to be listened to. And that's one of the things that I'm really, having to learn. And because I'm used to being able to, hey, here's the work, here's the, and I'm in the position of listening now, but letting Holy Spirit do the work right in front of us. It's been pretty incredible to watch.
That's a really
And
good
they're
point.
coming. Well, I just want to say that,
Go
and
ahead.
they're coming to us because there is something different. They're not walking into our doors, not knowing that we're Christ followers. That's not a surprise to them that all of this is biblically based. So that whole idea of offering them something else, some type of secular healing, I mean, no, I mean, I'm totally with Tony on that I'm not going to beat you about the head and shoulders with the gospel. I'm not going to do that to you. I am going to tell you that we are a biblically based ministry. And so scripture is going to be a part of what we bring to the table. Now, you can do with that whatever you want, but that is part of what we bring to the table. And they come back, and they come back. And so that whole idea of the support group, maybe she's not ready for the full-fledged, Bible study, but to have a support group where she can come, and like Sylvia was just talking about, where she can come and be heard, that can be her place to begin. That's another thing we're going to talk about at National Conference. Yes, that sounds like a commercial for CareNet, unashamedly.
Everybody sign up.
That's right. But to have, I mean, so many of these young women, it's part in some ways it's kind of part of their DNA. This is the most high anxiety group of young people too. They have the highest incidence of mental health issues, and so it's not unusual for them to want to talk through their problem.
But I love
And so
how open they are. You get them in group and they're just, it's all out there. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's not like pulling it out of the old ones that we used to do. They're ready to talk about it.
That's true. And I think Sylvia's point about they'd want to be heard is key. And I just want to add that that listening to people isn't just letting them talk and talk and talk. Listening to people is asking really good questions as they're talking, repeating what they said. Hey, you said this. Can you help me understand where that's coming from? Any of those things, and just helping them to really dig into what they're saying by listening and asking really good questions. Then they feel really heard and they feel loved, and then they'll build trust with you. So, is there any other comments that we have towards this? Levette, you mentioned something here in the chat, atonement mentality. You want to
But
expound on
I
that?
just feel like, they feel like, okay, I've had the abortion. Now I can go to abortion recovery. Or even before it, they know they're going to walk into it and get the abortion, but I know you have abortion recovery for me. And it's such an atonement mentality that I feel like as facilitators, because it is a completely different world, especially with the pill, we need to recognize that as well. And like you said, Tony, maybe she's not, because she has this atonement mentality, maybe she's not ready to go through the Bible study, but she may be willing to go to a support group. So as facilitators, we are in such a position to be educated on Gen Z. Like, shameless plug again, if you're going, you need to go to Jill's breakout session, because you need to
Gonna be
be educated.
full.
Yes, and before, you need to be educated on, are you listening? What is she saying? And what I always tell my daughter-in-law, I'll be like, okay, what did she say, but what did she not say? And that is like true listening skills to hear, like, okay, this is what she said, but she didn't say this. And one of my favorite things is when ladies, like you were saying, Mindy, just listening and have them repeat back what they say. I've always heard young ladies say to me, I know this sounds stupid, Miss LeVette. And I'll say, oh, your words, this sounds stupid. Let's talk about that. You said it. I didn't say it, but you said it. Let's dig into that. And that can open Pandora's box. Let's examine why you feel like what you just said is stupid.
Yeah, that's
You
good.
reminded me of a woman that came through. She was being required to come through from another center that didn't offer abortion recovery. And the very first night there, she said, "So I don't really understand why I'm here because I knew it was wrong." And I told God it was wrong when I was on the table, and he said, "You're forgiven, and I'm done." And she really thought she felt that way. I mean, she thought in the moment that she said that, while she was getting the abortion, that God forgave her and it was over. It was done and over. And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be tough." And it was a larger class, or larger group. And it came to a point where, I mean, we were just praying, the other facilitator and I, because it was making it difficult, like we talked before, about what that was doing with the other participants. And it was a time when we needed to ask her to leave, or we were going to have a conversation. And so we were just praying about it. And she did leave, and she ended up quitting her job at the pregnancy center as well. Thankfully, because that probably would not have worked out well for her or the center. But I will say this, 2 years later, because I kept in contact with her, and 2 years later, she came back and she said, "I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm ready." So there again, we just don't know. It's God's timing. We just have to be aware. I feel like so aware of praying and asking God where these people need to be, and if it's a good fit. But we also can't give up, because He doesn't, even though
Yeah.
it's frustrating for us.
Thank you, Tony. That's good.
Yeah, along that same line, having somebody say, I know my baby's in heaven. I sent him on ahead in heaven ahead of me. That whole mentality, what Levette was saying, is they're asking forgiveness ahead of time, and thinking that it's a good thing that their babies are going to heaven. And that may be a whole different subject, but man, that's tough.
Yeah. Jill, did you have a comment?
Oh, I was, but Levette's comment in the chat, it needs to be spoken out loud there, sister friend.
Yes. She says, you are forgiven, but consequences will follow. Moses didn't go into the promised land because of his action. It's true. He acted in disobedience to God, and he was forfeited from entering the promised land. I was just reading that today.
I was just thinking about, presumptive sin. Because I counseled a woman on our mobile unit outside of Charlotte's busiest abortion clinic, and she said, I know that God will forgive me. And I'm like, you're right. He will forgive you as long as you are heartily sorry. And whatever you do, if you go forward with this, you will walk out the consequences of your sin. And this is sin, make no mistake. Will God forgive you? Yes, he will. But he judges your heart. Yeah. And presumptive sin, that's a whole theological concept that we could talk for hours on.
Thank you. But I appreciate your time. We've been doing this for nearly 2 hours, and I know you all are very, very busy. So to have you on here and talk about all these things, and I get to firsthand listen to you before anybody else does, I feel privileged and honored, and I thank you.